we're thinking, this is Mother's Day, of course, and there's not a whole lot said in the Bible. There are some things, for sure, but, you know, we see mothers and the importance of them. Again, like I mentioned, everybody has one, amen, and there are they are a blessing. I look back and think about upon my life and what my mother's meant to me. I mean, a lot of times you look at things, and things aren't always perfect. And situations aren't always perfect. Mothers, of course, aren't always perfect. But they'll always love you, and they'll always care for you no matter what. Whether we're talking about saved mothers or not. Now, today in the world, there are a lot of people that have children that aren't mothers. There's a difference. You can have children and not be a mother or a father. But someone who is a mother or a father, in this case a mother, is someone's going to nurture their children, encourage their children. Help them to look to those things that they believe, and a godly mother is going to help them to look to the Lord. And so as we think about that, and we're thinking about this day as we're honoring our mothers, you know, the Bible teaches us in Exodus chapter 20, and it's mentioned several times that children are to honor their father and their mother. And we need to teach them how to do that by honoring our Father, which is in heaven. Showing and demonstrating how we trust Him and we believe in Him and we honor Him. This is where we get this idea how to honor. And we teach our children those things as well. And as we think about our mothers and we think about what they mean to us, we're going to look at a mother this morning and a grandmother actually. And that's kind of neat because both of these women were godly women. But we're going to look at some other things as well. But if you have a Bible's open to 2 Timothy, I want you to stand for just a few moments. And I'm going to read the first five verses in 2 Timothy chapter 1. All right. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the word of God this morning. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for how you desire to bring us to you. And you did that through Jesus Christ. And Father, this morning as we come together and as we remember our mothers, Father, I pray that we would remember you. And what you can do in our lives. Help us to understand by grace that you died for us. That not only did you die, but you live today for us. And Father, that we would understand that and understand what Jesus Christ means to us today. That you would guide and direct in each one of our lives and help us to understand that, that we can put our faith and trust in you. We thank you for these things and we pray now you go before us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we look at this, first thing I see is a mother's love. And something here in chapter 5, it strikes me a little bit funny because when you read this, you see he talks about Lois and Eunice, and this is the only place that their names are mentioned in the Bible. They're not mentioned anywhere else. This is it. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, you know, that's so often the case, isn't it? That the mother is behind the scenes doing all the things that she does, taking care of the family, helping raise the children, most often doing most of that as well, because fathers often are out of the house making the money and bringing home the bread, as they say. And yet, they don't receive a lot of accolades or notice. But yet, they are foundational to the family. They're really there, and they're really the ones that are going to stick to the stuff. You know, fathers leave. That's what ERA did for our country, was to release the fathers from their responsibilities. And because of that, today, mothers are alone raising their children. They're sticking by and they're taking care of their families. They're watching over them. And I know I've experienced that personally when my dad left. But I remember my mom and I remember how she was always there taking care of us. I remember one of the most fond memories I have, believe it or not, and I still love oatmeal today, was is when I lived in Newfoundland. I can remember getting up on those cold mornings living in that trailer, in that trailer park, and Mom would make that oatmeal. Lots of sugar, lots of milk, and a big old hunk of butter. You know, it's just delicious. Today, I can't have oatmeal unless I have sugar, milk, and butter. If I don't have that in it, it's not oatmeal. And so anyway, I remember that, and it's a fond memory, a blessing. I remember her, she would take care of us. She'd put our snowsuits on. We'd go out and play for hours, it seemed like, and come back freezing to death, and she'd take them off and warm us up and give us something to eat. She was always there helping us, encouraging us. When I got older, my parents decided to separate, or my dad, I guess, basically did. He went to Vietnam, and he was gone. He went to different schools, and he was gone for about 2 years. Really thought he was in Vietnam all that time. He wasn't. He was in Vietnam for a year. But nonetheless, they separated, and my mom was still there. She was taking care of me and my sister. She didn't make a lot of money, but she worked a lot of hours. And she was always making sure that we had food in our mouths and clothes on our backs. Now, we didn't have 10 sets of anything. If we were blessed if we had 2 sets of something, but she made sure we had something. And it was a struggle for her. It was difficult for her. But because she loved us and cared for us, she stuck by. And she kept working and kept encouraging us. I can't imagine what she felt like. I could imagine if it was me in that situation, and I can't fathom what a woman thinks at all. Please don't even go there. But I just know it's got to be some discouraging being by yourself trying to raise your children. It's got to be hard, very difficult. Especially, she's not a godly woman. She didn't trust Christ as her Savior. She had been to church and raised in church with her mother, or my grandmother, her mother, yet she never received Christ. She was baptized, but never trusted Christ. And she didn't live that way. She lived like all ungodly people lived. But yet, she still loved me and my sister. I remember when I was 15, I was introduced to motorcycles, I guess when I was 14. A friend of mine had one, and I'd go everywhere with him, and he'd take me places, and all of a sudden I get this great desire. You know, the old thumping in the heart. I want one of those. And my mother went out on a limb, and she borrowed over $500 and bought me a brand new motorcycle. That motorcycle, 2 months later, was wrecked, but anyway, insurance took care of that. But she did that because she wanted to help me, encourage me. She gave me things that I wanted. But you know, my mom, she was a tough cookie too. And I mean that literally when I say cookie. I've already told you that story about the Oreo cookie. You got to be careful with mom. She has a breaking point. And I experienced that on many occasions, but two really come to mind. One is that cookie episode where she came home and I asked her for a cookie, and Mom said, "We're going to have supper in a few minutes." And I said, "Mom, I want a cookie." And she said, "Look, we're having supper in a few minutes." "No." And we did that little scenario about 3 or 4 times. And finally, I said, "Mom, I want a cookie." And she's just tired of fussing. She says, "Get a cookie." And you know how you can get when you get rebellious and the hairs stand up on the back of your neck and you go, "No, I'm not eating a cookie." And all of a sudden she decided, "Well, you're going to eat a cookie before supper." And I can just picture it this day in Austin, Texas, in the living room of my house. Mom was coming after me, and she had a cookie. And she said, "Eat this cookie." And I said, "No." She did that a couple times. And the next thing I know, she had a headlock on me, and that cookie was going in my mouth. And I remember I didn't get it all in my mouth. I got it all over my face and lips, and it didn't feel good. She had me on the carpet. I'm seriously shoving this cookie in my mouth. I don't blame her. I'd have busted my chops, too. And I remember one time, again, that I made her so mad, back-talking her and stuff, and she come after me with a belt. And back then, I had a set of bunk beds in my bedroom, and I took off, and I ran for the bedroom. I could outrun Mom. She was a pretty big lady, just kind of like I am. But anyway, she's coming after me with that belt, and she said, "Get down from there." I said, "No." And I crawled over in the farthest corner in that bunk room. It wasn't far enough. And she had a belt, and she started giving it to me, and I deserved every one of them. She probably should have whooped me more. But she cared for me, and she wanted me to do right, no doubt about it. But she was always there. I was so excited when she called me up one morning, and she told me, "Bruce, I'm 100% sure." That's the only word she used. I had given her a track a little while back, and we'd been witnessing to her, but a couple ladies came by her house. She invited them in. They sat down with her, and they went through the gospel, and she received Christ as her Savior. That morning she called me and says, Bruce, I'm 100% sure. Me, just like smart aleck I am. What are you 100% sure of, Mom? She said, I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I accepted Christ as my Savior. And from that day forth, her life changed. Used to, we'd bring the kids in, we'd sing the songs to her, Jesus loves you and all those things. She didn't want to hear it. She'd walk out of the room. She didn't want nothing to do with Christianity. And then she's asking me and calling me up out of the blue. I'm at home at night saying, hey, what's this tithing stuff? Can't explain that to me. Just different things as she started learning, she started asking questions. I saw a new life, a new creature. Mothers, as some people have said, for sure, are not perfect. But as I mentioned, a mother's love never ceases. She never gives up on her children. We remember a mother called Hannah. You remember her and her situation? She couldn't have a child. And yet she prayed to God and asked God and begged God. And God gave her a child. And she made a vow to him. Says, God, if you'll give me a child, I'll give that child back to you. And she did. And she did exactly what she promised. God gave her a child. And many more after that. But Samuel was dedicated to the Lord. And through his life, many things had happened. And of course, he was a servant of the Lord. Remember another episode in Kings. I just read this recently in 1 Kings chapter 3. Henry just read this. He didn't tell me he read that, but he told me he's in Kings. But it was about the wisdom of Solomon. Remember two ladies that lived together. Both of them had children. One had one, and then 3 days later, the other one had. And the one that had it 3 days later, she had slept on her child. The child had died. And so she got up in the night and stole the other child and swapped them. And when the mother got up the next day, the one that had it first realized, hey, this is not my child, and they took it to the king. And the king said, well, we got to solve this situation, so how can we do this? And he said, bring a sword. And when he brought the sword, one of those women said, go ahead, cut it in half. And the other one said, no, give her the child. And through that, Solomon knew whose child it was. Because a mother's love would never have allowed that child to be cut in half, but would have given it away before seeing it die. That's a mother's love. That's a love that cannot be expressed or cannot be understood by us guys so much. I can't really understand a mother's love. I see my wife and how she's always looking to help the children. This poem that I've read this several years, probably in this church over and over, but I started to try to write one myself and I couldn't do anything that did justice to what this says. And so I thought I'd just read this again. And it reminds me of my mom, but more importantly, it reminds me of my wife. A mother is one who rises up from sleep to soothe the cries from the crib. I can remember many nights when one of my children were up trying to get up and Mom, Janie, would run up and take care of them. All six of our children, she was on hand to do that. I get up, there's not a lot I can do, especially when they're nursing, but she would get up and take care of that child. It says, who sits beside the bed with cool hand upon small feverish brow. Mother's one who sews, scrubs, cooks, irons, patches, mops, but somehow still has time for your every problem, no matter how great, no matter how small. If any one of my children called up my wife, she'd be there talking to them right now if they call. She's that way. I mean, obviously dads would do that too, but Mom is always there. She's always special for her children. Mother's one who sings that forever remembered lullaby, although her voice may crack and creak, although she may sharp the naturals and naturals the flats. To a child and to childhood memories, the song of mother is a song of angels. Mother's the one who bandages the skinned knees, the stubbed toes, who can kiss the pain away and say just the right consoling words that makes everything all right. Mother's the one who sits in the pew and with memories crowding in will smile a little and cry a little as she hears the words intoned to love and cherish till death do us part. Mother is the one who, as grandmother, will spoil your children because she loves them so deeply and because in them she sees another you. Isn't that true? You know, grandparents, you understand that. When your children, you're raising them, you want them to do the right thing and make sure they're everything's right. But when you get older, it's like, there's a little bit of leeway here, you know, and we can go ahead and spoil the child and send them back home, you know. And so it's easy to do, but it's true. Mother is the one who will do the most for you and in return ask the least. Her hope never fadeth, no matter how far away you are. That includes not physically, but maybe even from the Lord. No matter how often you have neglected her, She is always there to do whatever you ask in the same way she has always done her best for you. Mother is the one for whom you must finally pluck the white rose and tenderly pin it into your heart. Life is never the same without her. You never become accustomed to the absence of her presence. You wish she could call or write, but she does not. That which you took for granted for so long is no longer granted you. A part of the best of earth has slipped away, and you miss her dreadfully. I know many of you would say that this morning. I feel that often when I think about my mother. The things I'd like to say to her today that I didn't when I could have. And the things I'd like to just spend time with her and just talk to her about. But you are not alone without her. Look inside you. Count the best things in your life. Character, love, unselfishness, forgiveness, kindness, gentleness. They were all planted by that tender hand so long ago. The hand of that wonderful woman who cuddled you and held you and said, "This is my child." Mother. What a wonderful person. And that's what it is today, is the mothers that we have in this room today. I'm so grateful that we have mothers that, just like Timothy's mother, are demonstrating an unfeigned faith. We see in our passage, that's what, again, he said, when I recall the remembrance, the unfeigned faith. I look at that word unfeigned. What does it mean? It means sincere, without hypocrisy. This is someone that trusted Christ. And through her relationship with Christ, Lois and Eunice, they began to train Timothy. And all of this took place because of a man named Paul. When he went to the cities of Lystra and Derbe. That's what we know. Turn to Acts chapter 16 for a second. We'll get a little history. There's not much known about these, and they're not named. But we can go and kind of see how things have evolved here. In chapter 16, it begins here. It says in verse 1, it says, and this is Paul. He's coming back on a mission, his second missionary journey here. And it says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." So here we see that as Paul is meeting Timothy, again, maybe for the first time that he met Timothy, we don't know because there's no surety of that when he went to Lystra and Derbe before, but he did go there on his first missionary journey. And when he did, something happened. Something happened that changed the life of Timothy, because we know that Timothy was taught as a child the things of God. How could he do that without a mother that knew that? Because obviously we don't know about the father. We don't know his situation. All we have recorded is about the mother and the grandmother. So being a Jew, and his mother was, she probably knew the law, probably understood some things of the Bible. And then when Paul came in Acts chapter 14, when he came on his first missionary journey to Derbe and Lystra, he preached the gospel, it says. So no doubt Paul was there. He preached about that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No doubt. He shared that for the wages of sin is death. I'm sure he talked about the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that Jesus died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he rose, was buried and rose again. The third day, according to the scriptures. I'm sure he taught these people that. And she was probably there, and as well as her mother, both of them. And they understood this message. And when they did, they put their faith and trust in Christ. You say, how can you say that? Well, I can say that based on what I know a little about these folks. It teaches us that they taught Timothy from a child. They would have to know beforehand the Lord Jesus Christ. And here when Paul meets Timothy, he's a young man, and he is going to begin serving and following Paul. And this came about because Paul went, preached the gospel, and Lois and Eunice received Christ as their Savior, and they thought it was important to teach Timothy these very things. Turn, if you would, over to 2 Timothy again. I want you to go to verse 14. The idea that he was taught, it says here in verse 14, as Paul is writing again to Timothy, who is a pastor, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Now, this could have reference to the things Paul taught, for sure, because Paul took him under his wing and trained him. But also, look at verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That word child means infant, if you look it up. And so as the idea is that here in a family, his mother and his grandmother taught him the Scriptures. They were a family that believed God. They were a family that taught Timothy the Scriptures. They had the Old Testament Scriptures and what they were taught by Paul. But also, it was probably a family that read the Bible in their home. Why? Because Timothy grew up knowing the Scriptures. You can't know them if you don't hear them and you don't read them. And so maybe even Timothy memorized the Scriptures. I would suggest so. And it's so important because we know that this is how God works in people's lives. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, maybe they knew this verse. There's no doubt it's an Old Testament verse. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Maybe that's something they understood and saw the importance of. Or maybe they understood Deuteronomy 6:6-7, and these words which I command thee this day shalt be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Again, the idea of training our children to serve God. Training our children that He is the Almighty. He is the one who's given us the very life and breath we have. Demonstrating that is more important than just telling. Telling is important, but living the life as well. So we can assume that both of these lived that life, that they were willing to serve Christ. You know, a lot of people say that you got to go out and experience life to understand what it is. I've heard this by a lot of people. And the fact is, if we're not careful, you're going to experience things that you don't need to experience. In fact, there are probably some in here today, myself included, that would say, there's a lot of baggage in my life that I've experienced things that I wish I would have never experienced. If I would have maybe been saved at an early age and surrendered my life, I may never have had to experience any of those things. Proverbs 2:6 reminds us that, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. This is what we want to understand. We don't need the knowledge and understanding of the world and what the world thinks. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So we want to take our children and we want to direct them to the things of God. It's the Word of God that gives us the path. In Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. In Psalm 119:105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so as we're living that life and we're directing our children to live it too, we want children to be stronger than we are, mightier than we are. That means we need to be strong and mighty, because what we do in moderation, our children do in excess. And it works both ways. If they see somebody sold out for the Lord, living for the Lord, trusting God, they'll turn around and they'll live it stronger than we will. They'll take it upon themselves, realizing the importance of this, that God has called them, each one, to do something for Him. Wherever He plants them, God has a purpose for it. It's an amazing thing we see. We see it in Timothy's life. I don't think any other place you can find the Bible where you can see this idea of someone putting their faith and trust in Christ and then transferring that to their children. A mother's faith is evidence in the life of her son. We see that in Timothy's life, that he learned these things when he was young, and through these things, God worked in his life. He became a missionary. He went off with Paul and he served the Lord. Paul saw in him something special. He saw in him that this young man loved the Lord and wanted to follow him. So Paul took him under his wing. If you read the letters of Paul's writings, he wrote 14 letters. 10 of those, Timothy is mentioned. 10 of those letters, we see Timothy's name. And of course, when Paul met him in Acts chapter 16, his life was changed. He began developed a close relationship with him. And that's why Paul would make mention in verse 2, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, because of that relationship. They had the relationship. They both knew Christ. They both wanted to serve Christ, and they were looking to help him follow. In fact, Paul wrote the idea that there was no man like him except for Timothy that he could send. Timothy was a teacher. He helped others to understand Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, says, "For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." He went back to the church there and to help them and encourage him. Again, he was a preacher of the word. In 2 Corinthians 1:19, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea." He was a minister of the things of Christ. Turn to Philippians, if you will. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, again, we see the influence of his mother and grandmother, and the fact that he trusted the Lord and walked with him. And through this, Paul could use him. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, I'll give you a second to get there. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 19. He says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me." Again, the idea is that he was faithful in the ministry. He was faithful to the Lord. And Paul put his stamp of approval on Timothy. You know, more importantly than Paul's stamp of approval was God's stamp of approval. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants us to serve him and to walk with him and just to submit to him in every area. And it's so wonderful to see parents. And I think of mothers especially, again, because I know mothers are taking care of their children when the parent or the fathers are gone. They have to work. But the mother's there all day with them, and they're going to train them up to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to point the way. They're going to give them the direction. They're going to help them to see that Jesus Christ is the only way. It changes a person's life. I wish in my lifetime that I had a mother like that. I mean, I look back and think, I wish I had someone that would get me up and say on Sunday morning, say, let's go to church. Nobody was there. I didn't know anything about the Catholics, and I only knew a little bit about the Baptists and some of the others because every now and then someone invited me to Vacation Bible School. Had no idea. No idea how important it is for the foundation to be set early, to help the children understand early how important God is. It's demonstrated, it's taught, and it produces fruit. Our children are our fruit. It's a terrible thing to go out and knock on doors and tell people about Jesus Christ and then let your children suffer and miss the mark. There have been many preachers that have done that over the years, some great evangelists. You need to take your children with you. They need to see you serving so they too can. Timothy was a product of God's transformation. God used Paul to preach the gospel. Lois and Eunice received Christ and they taught young Timothy. And through that, Paul saw something in Timothy and he took him under his wing and he went on these missionary journeys and finally he became a pastor. He was a pastor of the church at Ephesus, teaching and preaching the Word of God. And it's through that today we have many men and women that are serving God because of godly homes, because of godly parents. And I can't stress the importance of that in anybody's life. We see that in Timothy's life. Turn to 1 Timothy for just a second. Again, in the first verse, it says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He's writing this again to Timothy. He says, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. And so his point is that he wants Timothy to take up this mantle of ministering in this church. Paul, for all his ministry, was a missionary, and Timothy is a pastor. And he's trying to train up these folks and encourage them in the things of God. And that's what the 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy are all about when Paul wrote him as a pastor, how he could help others to see Jesus Christ. The most important thing we can do in our lives is to trust him. Mothers, you have a great responsibility. Fathers, you have a great responsibility. Because fathers set the tone in the home. And mothers often carry the mantle. And if we want our children to turn out to look to God, it's going to require that we do as well. That we're surrendered in that calling that God's called us as fathers and mothers. And that we help our children see the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the biggest calling each one of us have. And it's the most important calling. Because it not only affects your children, but it affects your grandchildren. And not only your grandchildren, but the next generation after that. So if we live a life that's not following Christ, what happens is our children are going to do the same thing to some degree. And maybe by the time the grandchildren are born, there's no godly home at all. And we lose the opportunities. It happened in my home. My grandmother was a godly woman. She went to church. She loved the Lord. Somewhere along the line, my mother decided she didn't want to do that. But I'm thankful for my grandmother. Every time I went to North Carolina, every time I passed through as a young child, we went to church. Grandma said, let me take the kids to church. And we went. And I'm grateful for my grandmother for doing that. Because there's some history I can look back on and recall that there was somebody there that wanted to show me the Lord, teach me about the things of God. She didn't have much influence in that because I didn't see her very often as a young person. But it was great enough to know when I got saved that God had put her in that position to help me. All this began because Timothy's life began because Timothy's grandmother and his mother were godly women. As a mother loves her children and invests her life in them, then at some point we all wish and hope that her children will rise up and call her blessed. That is the desire, is it not? That children would look to their parents and look to their mother. I know the other day when Nathan and Priscilla, they had an anniversary, and I was just texting them, and I just shared some things. And Janie, she turns around and texts them, and she texts 3 John 4. She says, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. I tell you, there's no greater joy than that. None whatsoever. It's an opportunity we have. We don't ever give up. We don't ever quit. We continue until the last breath we have. And we continue to pray for our families, continue to pray for others, especially our children. Some may have children that are not walking with God. It's not over till it's over. Keep praying. Keep asking God. Keep being an influence in their life. Because you don't know when it can change. And God will answer your prayers if you'll be faithful. He tells us that. Mother has a special place in all of our hearts. To this day, I look back, and this morning as I was praying, I was thanking the Lord for my mother. Even though she wasn't a Christian, as I was being raised, she still was a person that loved me more than anybody else did. She loved me more than my dad did, obviously. And she was there for me throughout all my life. Whenever I needed anything, she would try to help me get it. And I'm so grateful that I had a mother that loved me. And I hope you are as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our mothers. We thank you for each one. I am so grateful that we have an assembly of believers here that have mothers that love you, fathers that love you. And Father, I am so grateful for the children that we have and the opportunity that we have. The opportunity to help train up these children. To first put their faith and trust in you, and then, Father, surrender their lives to you, that they know how they should walk in this world. Now, Father, I pray you just bless each family in this church and continue to strengthen us through the things of God. We love you. And we love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're thankful for the Holy Spirit. And pray that you would go before us now and bless each one of us. Pray these things in Jesus' name.